but I wouldn't forget what he'd done before. He'd made me retreat to protect myself. He'd proven he didn't understand the word no, even if I never verbally said it. I huffed, ignoring the urge to cross my arms and cock my chin at the door. You can leave whenever you want.
Is it screwed up that I find you stunning? Is it fucked up that I don't care you're not standing naked because you want to, only because I ordered you to?
He resumed his pacing.
Shit, this was a bad idea.
His eyes flew to his blazer thrown over the edge of the bed. Huh, he must have picked it up. It was on the floor when I'd fallen asleep. His face contorted as if battling the desire to get dressed and leave, or stripping naked and finishing what he'd threatened. If I were any normal girl, I would have fallen to the mattress and covered myself from his lewd stare. To answer his dilemma and force him to choose the first option and leave. But I wasn't, and I hadn't been given instruction to fold. So I remained standing, even when he paced away with his trousers and belt jangling, entering my bathroom to splash cold water on his brow. With no door hiding him, I continued staring. Not that he cared. What had he been thinking about while I slept? Whatever it was had put him on edge. Had Master A attempted to come in? Did Mr. Press do something I didn't know about? So many questions with no voice to ask. After swishing his face, he wiped back his hair and buckled his belt. His eyes found mine in the mirror, black with secrets. He didn't turn away as he dried the final droplets on his hands, using the small towel by the sink. Entering the bedroom, he sat on the stool that complemented the dressing table I never used. Linking his fingers between his thighs, he leaned forward, planting his feet on the white carpet.
Come here.
Rebellion shook its head, but I fought it down. These games he played were starting to intrigue me, despite myself. My desire to disappear and avoid him faded, forcing me to remain here with him, for better or for worse.
Pim, come.
His heavy timber forced my limbs to move. I leapt off the bed, hiding my wince as my bruised body did its best to cushion such a stupid activity. He crooked his finger, summoning me closer.
Don't be afraid.
I didn't make a sound as I padded naked and barefoot to stand before him. My broken hand hung loosely by my side while my right tightened into a fist, forcing myself to let go of my confusion and questions, becoming mute in both thoughts and body. Mr. Prest looked up. With him sitting down, it gave me a few inches above him. But I didn't for a second believe he'd given me any control over what would happen next. His voice was a seductive whisper.
I won't force you to do something you don't like, if you promise you won't vanish on me again. Deal?
No, yes. Who the hell are you?
You're confused by what we did together, but you don't mind it as much as you think you should.
Stop putting words in my mouth. My toes clutched the carpet as I dropped my gaze, hoping he wouldn't be able to read me.
Seeing as you won't tell me your thoughts, I'll tell you mine.
He shifted a little on the stool.
I entered into this deal with Ulrich because he has contacts I want. However, in my research, I found he's a sick fuck who's killed 4 other women he claimed were his lovers and has never been prosecuted. He's also dispatched a few men, but that's none of your concern. When I dove deeper into the autopsy reports, claims of long-term abuse were prevalent, yet still not avenged.
His hand flashed out, curling around my hip.
He comes from 3 generations of money. His great-grandfather was in steel manufacturing, his grandfather gambled the stock market well, and his father died young, leaving all of it to him. He swindled most of it away, and I did my part in taking a fair chunk off him. However, I knew nothing of you. He kept you hidden, and fuck if that doesn't piss me off. In my line of work, I need to know everything there is about a person. Now, I know more than enough just from spending time with you.
He looked at where he touched me. My skin crawled and heated, utterly confused as if it should find some margin of joy from being touched or throw up at being held.
I came here tonight wanting to fuck you, but I see now that I've got all I can out of Ulrich. I won't screw you over too, because as idiotic as it sounds, I feel something. I don't understand it, and it doesn't make a fucking difference, but there is something between us.
My nostrils flared. He felt it too. Holding his palm away from my hip, he hovered a few millimeters from connecting. The longer he hovered there, the deeper the tingle from my flesh to his became.
Feel that?
His eyes captured mine.
Because I do, and it makes me so fucking mad because I can't seem to resist you.
His hand clamped onto my side again, dragging me into the prison of his spread legs.
The moment I saw you and knew what you were, I wanted you. I don't care that you're locked here against your will. I don't care that I should do the right thing and free you.
His fingers dug harder.
Know why?
Because you're just like them?
Because I've lost everything that made me a human a long time ago. I shamed myself. I have no fucking honor. I take and take and take. I steal. And when I steal, I find something worth living for. So you see, Silent Mouse, I'm not here to be the gentleman. I want my answers. And then I'll leave and never look back.
His fingers bit into a swirling orange bruise from Master A's shoe.
I want you out of my mind, out of my head. Do I make myself clear?
Wait, you thought about me? Those 3 days since we met, I'd been in his mind like he'd been in mine? My lips twitched to think we'd both thought about each other, not with affection or desire, but with hate for different reasons. He hated the smidgen of power I had over his body. I hated him for the end he represented to my life. I fought to shiver as he brought me forward with biting pressure, pressing my bare pussy against his tattooed chest.
I'd planned on giving you something in return, so at least I wouldn't have stolen everything, that I would have paid in some small measure. I wanted to give you an orgasm, but I see now you won't let me.
It's not that I won't, it's that I can't. The expensive material of his trousers tickled my legs as he tightened his knees, keeping me trapped.
You truly are the worst sort of woman, Pimlico.
What? I jerked back, fighting his grip. He chuckled.
Don't be offended. It's meant as a compliment.
You suck at compliments.
Want to know why you're the worst?
My forehead furrowed. No? Okay, fine.
You're the worst because you're an addiction. You have so many secrets that all I want to do is rip them out. You have secrets even you don't know. It takes all my fucking willpower not to do what he does and hurt you to pry them free.
For all his pompous judgment of Master A's murdering escapades, he was bad, maybe worse than the monster I belonged to. That hurt more than I thought. Men are all the same.
That surprises you, I see.
You saw nothing.
Are you more surprised that I have the urge to beat you, that I fight the desire to fuck you, but I'm going to walk out that door without laying a finger on you? Or are you more surprised that I'm honest and told you how obsessed I've already become with you?
His touch spread from my hip to my belly button, never looking away. He pressed his fingertip into the indent in my stomach, pushing hard, somehow activating a thread of pleasure I never knew existed. I hated sex. I only knew pain when it came to fucking, and pain did not turn me on. Even the one instance where fumbling fingers and sloppy kisses had conjured any sort of desire was overshadowed by the fact that Scott, my first and only 2-week boyfriend, had used me just like any man. He might not have sampled my body, but he'd used my mind, copying my answers on his homework, asking me to help him cheat his exams. Maybe all of this is my fault, and I just let men use me. Not just men. My mother had used me as her perfect daughter. A killer had used me as a convenient sale. Why should Mr. Prest be any different? He interrupted my dark thoughts.
The thing is, you'll never understand me, just as I won't understand you. I don't talk much either. I prefer silence. I find it grants more than takes away.
I tilted my chin in disagreement. You're pretty talkative currently. His eyelids hooded as his arm wrapped around my back, dragging me forward. His nose skimmed my belly.
You're right. For some reason, I talk enough for both of us when I'm around you. Let's just say I like to talk when in bed. Sex is where the truth comes out, regardless of what we try to hide.
We aren't in bed. His excuse made no sense.
Fuck, what am I saying?
Launching from the stool, he paced toward the door.
I need to go.
Go? But you can't. Not until I figure out how to use you to free me. The rigid outline of another erection showed in his slacks. He hadn't put on his t-shirt, and his tattoo was just as impressive with the dragon's tail, flickering with impatience over his liver, as it was from the front protecting his heart.
Ah, fuck, I can't. Not until I've...
Yanking a hand through his hair, he exhaled heavily.
Shit, I shouldn't.
Stopping by the mattress, he shook his head and once again crooked his finger.
Fuck it. Come here. There's something I need to do.
My feet glued to the carpet. Do what exactly? Did it matter? I was running out of chances to make him want me enough to steal me. He'd already admitted he wanted me in ways he shouldn't. I needed gumption to use that addiction against him. I took a step forward. He smiled, sharp and as dangerous as his dragon.
Good girl. A little closer.
I narrowed my eyes, studying him as his hands opened and closed by his thighs. He looked back and forth between me and his blazer, once again guilt and bewilderment on his face. Whatever he wanted to do would pain him as well as me. What is he afraid of? Curiosity was stronger than my fear. I tiptoed toward him.
Elder. What the fuck are you doing? I turned off my mind. I couldn't control my body or its pounding lust as Pimlico padded closer. But I could switch off the berating questions of my sanity. I'd promised myself I wouldn't do this. While she slept and the desire to take what I wanted snowballed, I'd chained myself with obedience. Fucking good my self-control turned out to be. I'm allowed one of everything. And I wanted one of this. So fucking much. But this goes against... I shut off my thoughts. Even if it was wrong, I'd never have it again. I needed to know what it felt like before I walked out the bloody door and never looked back. After this, I would leave. I wouldn't wait for Ulrich to bulldoze through our sanctuary and steal his slave. He could have her. She was too much for me. Too much work, too much temptation, far too much addiction. I was glad Celix had hung around with the car, because the sooner I was out of here, the better for everyone. When Pim reached my side, I pointed at the bed. Sit down. Unlike her other fractiousness, she obeyed immediately. Her thighs hid the place she'd touched so unwilling. Her ribcage pressed against her skin as she breathed faster with uncertainty. She looked so goddamn beautiful, even while bordering broken. Looming over her, I paused. If I did this, I would be slaughtering more than one law in my world. I would pay for it for months afterward. But if I didn't do this, I would forever wonder, and I didn't like fucking wondering. It was a waste of time. Time I needed to dedicate to my empire. I'd take this one last thing from her, and then it was over. Never looking away, I slammed to my knees. She gasped as we became eye level, and every wildness inside me told me to flip her over and fuck her. Just take what I wanted. But she would shut down like before. She'd bury herself deep, and I didn't want to claim her body. I wanted her mind. She was wily and adaptive, and this was the only way I could harness a piece of her and make her stay. I just didn't know how much of myself I would give up in the process.
Pimlico. His hands came up. I jerked away, but his strong fingers lashed around the back of my head, keeping me pinned. Familiar terror froze me as the button for pain doused my senses. I couldn't stop it. I'd been brutalized too many times to override such an instinctual shutting down.
I won't hurt you.
His breath kissed me first. His promise did nothing to calm my nerves. The way he kneeled before me twined barbed wire through my heart, making it bleed. In that one small position, he gave me more power, more respect than I'd ever been given. It gutted me. And then his lips landed on mine, and the world slammed to a stop before spinning wildly in the wrong direction. I didn't know what to do, how to act. Should I pull back? Bite him? Give in to him? I froze. Should I flee? Hide? Sink down where he couldn't touch me? I shivered. I couldn't do anything because his lips were the perfect collar, keeping me leashed tight and trembling. First his questions had worn me down, and now he'd finally taken something physical. A kiss. His tongue slipped into my mouth. My chin arched on its own accord, desperate for passion even when I didn't know what it was. Bubbling, bulldozing heat whipped like horse-galloping chariots in my blood. Master A rarely kissed me, and if he did, it was wet and wrong. But this, there was nothing wrong about this. Peculiar, definitely. Astounding, absolutely. But wrong. Not at all. My lips sparked for a different type of kiss from a different type of man. But for some reason, Mr. Press stopped. His mouth feathered on mine, as if testing to see how far he'd pushed me, how far he'd pushed himself. His eyes blazed with the need to stop, but his lips beckoned me to start and never cease. I wanted him to stop. I needed him to stop. But a small microscopic part of me denied my lies. My heart shook its head, reaching out for more tenderness, knowing without being told that this was the only time I would receive such a thing. If I didn't let myself live in this second, while a handsome stranger gave me something I'd forever thought was lost, then I was an idiot. I did want this. I needed this. I deserve this.
Do you want me to kiss you? Will you let me take one thing from you?
Once again, his question was meant to trip me up and force me to reply. He was good. He'd befuddled my mind with dreams and kisses, and now expected me to nod with permission. But I'd been silent for too long to slip. Instead of nodding or pulling away, I remained where I was, our breaths mingling, our bodies tingling, and the chemistry that made us aware of each other from the beginning, dragging us faster into its charm. He half smiled, huffing in impatience.
You really won't talk, even though you know I'm not like him?
I stared into his eyes, forcibly ignoring the call to answer. I expected him to end the kiss he'd bestowed, to stand up and stalk away. But his gaze dove deeper, tearing past my unruliness, finding something he accepted.
Fuck, you're strong.
His lips landed on mine again. His fingers tightened around my face, holding me firm. His hold was both comforting and a shackle. Most of me wanted to run, but as his tongue once again teased my mouth, I let go of what I should and shouldn't do. In 2 years, I'd never allowed myself to think I was broken. I wasn't broken. I was still alive. But I knew something Mr. Press did not. Master A wouldn't care that his guest hadn't slept with me. He wouldn't care that nothing had truly happened between us. He would kill me anyway. I'd been his most expensive trophy, but tonight was the night another man tarnished me, and I'd slipped from mantle to box, to a coffin. My heart jangled as if trapped in a money jar, desperate to feel something good before more bad could find me. I leaned into the kiss, giving him a soundless reply that yes, I wanted him to kiss me, that yes, I was grateful for what he'd given me, even though I still loathed him for using my father's nickname for me. The kiss changed from foreign to welcoming. Our bodies fell together. His hand slipped from my face to my hair, yanking my head to kiss me harder. my fingers both unstable and broken, looped around his wrists, holding on to him rather than pushing away. I never thought I'd find something so singular and sweet. But I had. He'd found me. He'd given me one night of demands and acceptance, and this was goodbye. All control drained from my body as my head lolled in his hold. I gave up entirely. Whatever this was, I didn't want it to end. His lips pressed mine harder, encouraging sparks as our mouths never stilled. I shifted restlessly, desperately, as my attention riveted to his dexterous tongue and masterful manipulation. He forced me on a strange tide where I no longer listened to the outside world but my inner one, the one I lost touch with since I was murdered and bought, the one that was so much bigger than the universe I lived in. The slow incineration quickened as our mouths turned hungry and messy. There was no synchronization anymore.
Do you feel it, Pim?
He panted between kisses.
Do you feel your body preparing for me?
His voice switched to a growl, his lips brutal on mine.
Shit, I want you.
My back bowed as he jerked me forward into his embrace. Something happened to me. I was no longer on the same path. I'd stepped off it. No, I'd been dragged off it. By this man. This sinful angel who'd somehow become my defender and liberator all in one. I didn't know him. But I wanted to. He'd saved my life by giving me a second of happiness. I wanted him to remain in my life. But I knew that wasn't possible. He practically hissed with heat. I couldn't think while he looked at me like that, kissed me like that, stole everything from me like that. His tongue slid leisurely along my bottom lip, making me crave what he gave so recklessly. I wanted his tongue on me, inside me, consuming me. I wanted things he didn't understand or even thought I'd contemplate. His heavy-lidded glower was furious, angry, full of lust, lust, lust. He screamed sex, but not rape. Sex. Consensual sex. So far from the realm of everything I knew. His chest rippled as his hand cut my cheek again. His belly tightened, making his dragon smoke and sizzle.
I finally made you talk, Pim.
The glitter in his gaze danced with knowledge.
Your body likes me, even if you don't.
The surge of complicated, unknown emotions battered me just as nastily as Master A's fists. I didn't know why, but in that second I was devastated. Not from the pleasure he'd given me, but the load that would hit so damn hard once he left. I wanted to live in this moment for eternity. I wanted to find self-worth and happiness in its false togetherness. I wanted companionship, but by wanting that, it made me weak, because I wanted to lean on him after lean on myself for so, so long. I liked him. He kissed me again, stopping my thoughts and forcing me to accept him on a deeper level than I ever intended. I was no longer a slave or imprisoned or trapped. I was kissed. Kissed! Mr. Press slowly pulled away, taking his heat, warmth, and protection with him. That was... I didn't have words. Exquisite? Divine? Terrifying? I hovered in the final bliss of the best thing I'd been given in so long, plummeting into lethargy so heavy and consuming, I struggled to keep my eyes open. What had he done to me? Why did I feel drugged and obsessed and so, so tired? He didn't move. His gaze waged war with things far too deep and dangerous for just a kiss, and I was grateful when he shook his head, carefully masking whatever had happened. His lips arranged into a satisfied smirk.
I take it that was your first?
My cheeks heated. I closed my eyes, already coming down from the torrential high he'd shown me. His knuckles nudged my chin, startling my gaze to open.
How many other firsts have you been denied?
What do you mean? Standing from his kneeling position, he sat on the bed and ran a hand over his mouth. Something hot and needy sprang to life inside me, I didn't know what it was, but it was tentative but strong, confused but focused. Twisting to face me, he pressed his fingertip against my forehead.
Has someone made you wet just by talking to you? Telling you what they're about to do? Giving explicit detail of what they like about your body? What you sound like, taste like, beg like?
He bowed closer, his baritone making me drunk.
Whispering how fucking much they need to be inside you until you shatter the instant touch is given.
Wow. The shock and power of his voice almost made me forget my muteness. My head shifted slightly side to side in a very clear and non-permitted no. He exhaled heavily.
I take it that's another first, finally answering a question.
His teeth flashed in the low lights.
Don't worry, I won't tell.
The strange thing was, I believed him. He hated Master A almost as much as I did. He wouldn't run to him and spill whatever we'd just done. It wouldn't benefit him in any way. I stiffened as his finger dropped from my forehead, along my nose to my lips.
How about this first?
His head lowered, his mouth landing on mine for another brief kiss.
Has anyone kissed you so fucking hard you're bruised when you come up for air? Has anyone kissed you for fucking hours, tormenting you until you're drenched for his cock?
God, stop. I pressed my lips together. A slight tenderness existed from his attentions. This time I fought the urge to reply, but he read the way my tongue licked the redness he'd graced me with. I shivered as he swayed upward, removing the temptation of his kiss. The talk of firsts, and the indescribable way he spoke about them, shoved aside my circumstances and made me wish for a life to indulge in firsts, rather than wish for death to end them. His finger moved again, leaving my mouth to trail along my chin, neck, to my breasts. Cupping one, he murmured.
What about here, Pim? Has anyone sucked so fucking hard on your nipple it swells and stings? Anyone bit you until you cried for mercy or clamped toys on you, making you obey all commands?
His touch rolled my nipple, squeezing just a little. No. My breathing turned into a gasp as his fingertip followed the soft curve of my breast to my ribcage, waist, finally tracing my belly button. His intense gaze hinted he wished to touch between my legs, but he wouldn't. Caught up in the insane web we'd woven, I trembled as he said,
I wanted to give you another first. I wanted to make you come. I see now it would have been impossible for you, because you've never felt true pleasure.
His forehead furrowed.
There are so many firsts to explore with your pussy, Pim. Have you ever felt a man's tongue inside you? His mouth on your clit? What about his fingers so fucking deep inside you, you forget how to be human and become an animal instead?
The tightening in my limbs layered me with yet more sultry seduction.
I want to give you so many firsts.
He leaned toward me, his eyes hooded, his mouth only millimeters from mine.
I want to.
Disaster struck. The door exploded inward. Shrapnel clattered as hinges buckled and wood panels splintered. No. Tony's grunts ripped through the silence as he destroyed the entryway with a baseball bat, demolishing the one thing protecting us. Master A stood behind him, barking instructions. My heart sprinted from the tentative wandering in paradise and slammed back into its prison. No, no, no. That was why he'd given us so much time. Why Mr. Prest had the privilege of lying beside me unhurt. Master A called for backup.
What the fuck?
Mr. Prest launched himself upright, his body sprung and ready for a fight.
Get the hell out. I'm not done.
I shriveled as Master A stalked into the room. In his hand he held a gun. I'd never seen him with a black revolver, but the way he wielded it, with confidence and precision, said he wasn't a stranger to such things. His gaze leapt between my nakedness and Mr. Prest's trouser-clad form.
Did you have fun fucking my slave?
He cocked his head condescendingly, glaring at me.
Did you behave, Pim?
I looked down, hiding behind sleep-tangled hair. Fuck off, you mutant. The usual proverbial sword and shield I fought with had been stupidly abandoned during Mr. Prest's wicked kiss. I didn't have the strength to fight anymore, to live in hatred and pain anymore. Nonsensical questions ran riot as I did my best to sink into mute protection. How long had Mr. Prest let me rest, all while tracing the sweetest strokes on my back? How much time had we wasted that could have been spent kissing before Master A arrived to tear us apart? It doesn't matter. It's over. I was on my own again. Like always. Mr. Prest sucked in a breath.
Did you not hear me? I said I'm not done. Oh yes, you fucking are.
Master A turned brick red with rage as his hand trembled around the gun.
Get out. I want that yacht, Mr. Prest, but I've paid you more than enough. Leave.
My shoulders slumped as crystal clear conclusion hit me. My plans to use Mr. Prest to free me vanished. He would never free me. He had a contract with my owner, and that contract trumped whatever silly kiss we just enjoyed. Don't ask him for more. It would be your fault if he died. Tears stung my eyes as Master A stalked forward. He barely looked at me, obsessed at kicking this trespasser from his house. The fact he'd waited for Tony to act to support reaffirmed what a spineless coward he was. He couldn't stomach facing Mr. Prest on his own. The muzzle of the gun came up, pointing squarely at his dragon tattoo. Memories of Mr. Prest, telling me the murder count of my cowardly owner, sent catastrophic energy into my legs. I knew my fate. I accepted it. But I wouldn't let another bleed for me, even if he wasn't innocent of crime. Mr. Prest was the only man who'd be nice to me. I won't watch him die. Instinct controlled my body. Impulse overrode sanity and submission. I did something I'd never done. And I didn't do it for me. I did it for him. Dashing forward, I placed myself in front of the thief who'd kissed me. In front of the gun. In front of whatever would happen to me because of my bold stupidity. The room shot silent. I froze solid. Horror at what I'd just done compounded with lead weights, making me sink with fear. Tony's mouth gaped as his watery gaze gawked.
Holy shit.
Master A's eyes literally popped from his head. He spluttered in livid disgust.
Get the fuck out of the way, Pim. I'll deal with you later.
My shoulders squared. Not carrying my naked form would offer no protection. There'd be no one to stand up for me. I would die. But at least the sad cycle would be over. The terror at what I'd lived through rolled my spine as I fought the urge to step away and obey. I didn't know why I stood up for a man twice my size, with so many more skills at staying alive than me. But I did. It was my last attempt at being Tamsin before Pimlico was gone. Don't shoot him. Let him go. Mr. Prest yanked me back and behind him, wrapping his naked arm around me.
She's confused. I ordered her to protect me if you fucking barged in.
His fingers dug into my skin.
Don't hurt her for a command I gave.
You're lying. He's trying to protect you.
Oh, she'll be hurt all right. Don't you worry about that. All you need to worry about is getting your fucking ass out of my house right now.
Master A's finger teased the trigger, pointing directly at Mr. Prest's tattoo. Cocking his head at the mess Tony had made of the door, he yelled,
I want you out. It's not Dawn. Don't care. She's mine until I go. Wrong.
Master A's hand whitened around the gun.
She's mine, asshole. I won't ask again.
Mr. Prest didn't budge. He just crossed his arms. I tiptoed from behind him, wanting to be in a position to either run or kneel, needing to do something to cease this tense situation. Master A changed tactics. His blue eyes smiled cruelly as he swung the gun's muzzle from the interloper to me. I stiffened.
You have something I want, Mr. Prest. Count yourself fucking lucky, because if you didn't, I would have shot you the moment you took my Pimlico. However, wanting something is your issue too.
I gasped as everything blackened with impending murder. The sinister hole where a bullet would fire hypnotized me. I couldn't look away. If this were the most humane way it would end, so be it. I'd had my first proper kiss. I'd been treated well for the first time in years. If this was the epilogue of my awful, awful story, I was fine with that. My muscles relaxed, ready to accept the tearing, lacerating, excruciating lead. Please let it be a clean shot.
You want this whore.
Master A waggled the weapon.
You want her enough to keep her alive. I'll gladly fucking kill her if it makes you obey our deal.
Do it. Get it over with. Mr. Press's face turned monstrous.
You'd kill your own slave rather than give me a few more hours? Absolutely.
His reply was instantaneous.
So what's it gonna be? Her or you? I've been tolerant enough. She needs a fucking shower to rid your filth, and then a reminder who she belongs to.
Just shoot me. I didn't want a reminder. I didn't want anyone touching me ever again. Mr. Prest glowered.
You're a cunt.
Master A bared his teeth.
What's it gonna be? You won't do it. I won't?
His forehead furrowed with rage.
You want me to fucking prove it?
He'll do it. Maybe that was Mr. Press's plan. To have me shot so he could walk away, knowing I wouldn't suffer anymore. He said he wouldn't care about my treatment. That we all had personal demons to bear. It was merciful to dispatch me this way. Master Ace stomped toward me and fisted my hair, jerking me close.
Let's see how much she bleeds, shall we?
Mr. Press took a step, forgetting himself as fury coated his features.
Get your hands off her.
The cool threat of death lodged against my temple as Master A grunted.
My patience is done.
He stabbed me harder with the gun. The tang of metal shot up my nose.
Say goodbye to the whore. Keep your fucking yacht. I don't... Stop.
Mr. Press dropped his arms. Splaying his hands in surrender.
Don't kill her.
His gaze locked on mine, full of livid acrimony and apology.
You've just made the worst mistake of your life, Ulrich Osbjorn.
The gun twisted against my head. The round bruise numbed my skull where a bullet would ricochet and end me.
Wrong, Elder. You did. Give me what I want, what I motherfucking paid for, and I'll forget this ever happened.
Mr. Prest laughed. The sound landed aggressively on the floor, smoking with icy mirth and arctic promises.
Fourth time you used my name.
Storming forward, he snapped.
You've just fucked me off, Ulrich, and that is not a good thing to fucking do.
Swiping his blazer and t-shirt from the carpet, he gave me a look.
I thought I could do it. I thought I could watch you die. But I won't. Your life is yours, and I won't meddle in it anymore.
He shook his head.
So much for more firsts, Pim. I'm sorry.
Master A's red face flowed like lava as he harpooned the air with the gun.
Out! You'll regret this.
Mr. Prest lowered his jaw, watching him from murderous eyes.
I'll make you curse everything that you are.
Pointing a finger at me, he snarled.
Don't fucking hurt her. It's my fault, not hers. Let me fix my own mistakes.
Throwing me one last unreadable look, he vanished out the door. Wait! You can't go! The moment he disappeared, Master A smirked.
I guess I won that, huh? Shit, that makes me hard.
He kissed my cheek.
Get in the shower. I have something special planned for you.
With a threat lingering in the air, he pushed me away and followed his unwanted guest, leaving me alone with Tony. Tony, the asshole who'd shared me too many times, blew me a heinous kiss.
Do what he says, sweetie. The games will begin as soon as that bastard is gone.
He turned to go, then paused. A loud cackle fell from his lips. Bending over, he scooped up the knife Mr. Prest had stolen from the garage. My heart sank even further into quicksand. Shit. Tony whipped around, tapping the blade against the baseball bat he'd beaten the door with.
Hiding contraband now, sweetness?
His chuckle sickened me.
We'll just add that to the tally of your bad behavior and make sure you learn your lesson.
He saluted me with a knife.
See you soon.
He left. His steps echoed as he skipped down the stairs, cracking the baseball bat on the banister. A panic attack swooped in on killing wings, suffocating me instantly. I can't breathe. The room squeezed. Stagnant unhappiness reigned. Tears ran backward down my throat as I forbid them to stream from my eyes. I was grateful Master A had gone, but I screamed at the hole Mr. Press left behind. A hole that had been warm and almost content for a few stolen hours now whistled with gales of cavernous fear. Did he really just walk out the door? Without a goodbye? Without a... what? A thank you? What did you expect? He gave you pleasure. He let you sleep peacefully. He gave you more gifts than anyone, and you expect more from him? I laughed soundlessly. I was an idiot. A dead idiot. I sucked air as my pulse two-stepped, then four-stepped, desperately trying to stay calm. You don't have time for this. Breathe. The moment Mr. Press was kicked from the house, Master A would return, and he wouldn't have the gun with him. He'd have much more inventive ways to kill me, ways that gave him entertainment and pleasure. If only he left the weapon on the bed. I would have grabbed it, turned the muzzle on myself, wrapped my fingers around the trigger and said goodbye. I would have traded any hope of heaven by committing suicide, just for the tease of finally being free from this purgatory. I would welcome death with frost-feathered wings, hoping I'd paid enough atonement for a better life. How will I survive this? As my mind ran riot and my body continued to suffocate on terror, I compiled a last will and testament in my head. Not that I had anything to give. I flew back to the past and my room in London, reliving dinners with my mother at our window bay table and sneaking in trash TV when I was supposed to be doing homework. I went over my meager childish belongings that, at the time, had felt so important and were now completely inconsequential. To my mother, I bequeath my rare collection of English stamps. To my friend Amanda, I leave my DVD collection of Anne of Green Gables. Stop it, Mouse. Just stop it. I winced. I'd called myself Mouse. Just like Mr. Prest. I'd spent too long in my memories, too long with a man who made me remember another way of living. I collapsed in shock and horror, stumbling to the mattress but landing on my knees instead. My heart pulled out its drum set to crash on castanets and cymbals. Don't let him hurt me. Not again. I would have preferred to be shot. 100 times over. I wanted my first kiss to be my final memory. I wanted to go into a never-ending sleep where I found my father and he had my Minnie Mouse watch. I wanted so many things that I would never earn. But as much as my heart ached, and I wished to hate Mr. Prest for making me live, if only for a moment before death, I couldn't despise him. He'd done what he said and got me out of his system. He'd kissed me to rid any hold I had over him. He'd given me no other promises. In fact, his only oath was that he would use me and then leave me. He'd upheld that oath. I wasn't his. I was Master A's, and the rental agreement was up. Fighting back abandonment and foolishness, far, far painful than any abusive wounds I'd suffered, my world once again went dark as I closed my eyes and prepared to meet my end. I grabbed the sheet, yanking it to cover myself. However, something crinkly fluttered with the whiteness, landing on the floor beside me. The shock of something unknown interrupted my panic attack. What on earth? Hiccuping, I sat upright. My hands shook as I picked up the dollar bill. An American dollar bill. But it wasn't folded like normal money. It wasn't flat or creased in half like other well-transacted currency. This was in the shape of a tiny butterfly, complete with wings and delicate feelers. The light green of the note gave the illusion the wings were made of thread and ink, while its body cocooned with a numerical value of paper wealth. It's so pretty. But where did it come from? The answer was obvious. Him. But why? Fingering the linen parchment, I flushed with anger. My panic attack faded, finding strength once again. Was this Mr. Press' way of paying me for what we'd done? Was I only worth a dollar to him? Instead of pretty origami, all I saw was something cheap, something that made me cheap. Was our kiss that worthless? Tossing it away, the flash of black writing begged me to unfold it. I didn't relish the notion of destroying the creation, even if it was demeaning. But curiosity itched too hard. I scooped up the little butterfly, then tugged on the folded lines to reveal the note inside. Scrawled with masculine penmanship, the letter read,
I came here to get you out of my thoughts, but you fell asleep, and I'm beginning to doubt I will ever achieve that. For a man like me, that is an issue. Therefore, I'm leaving the moment you wake up. Goodbye, Silent One.
That was it. No odes of promises to come back or hints that he'd request to share me again. He'd had his one night to have been honest enough that I wasn't enough to capture his attention. His words sharpened until they glittered with stinging barbs, delivering venom into my heart. Don't hate him. Don't die with hatred. If that was the only pleasure I had, at least I knew what it felt like. I have to tell no one. I have to write it down so I never forget. Mr. Prest would become a figment of my imagination, locked forever in my toilet paper novel. I wouldn't tell anyone about him. I wouldn't grow to know him or care for him. Just one more reason why I would remain silent forever, holding my secrets. Until the end.
Elder. How dare he fucking throw me out? Did he think our deal would proceed as planned after such bloody rudeness? Did he honestly think I wouldn't rip him into motherfucking pieces for the lack of respect he'd shown? I'd hurt him for what he'd done to Pym, but I'd kill him for what he'd done to me. No one was permitted such intolerable insolence. If he'd given me a few more minutes, I would have walked out the damn door on my own accord. I would have run because of his slave. That kiss. Shit. I should never have done that. Big mistake. Huge fucking mistake. And now Ulrich had committed his own. Dawn had only just broken, but I wanted out of that white hellhole. Touching her, tasting her. Fuck me, it was more than I could handle. I had no intention of being alone with her again, because I knew my issues and I knew what would happen if I did. I was glad she belonged to another. This way I had no way of going back for seconds. For an awful moment, I'd wanted him to shoot her. I pictured the bullet tearing into her brain and the light in her eyes snuffing out. She'd be gone and I'd be granted absolution. If she was dead, she was free from me and Ulrich. I was so fucking close to letting him pull the trigger. But even though the right thing to do was put her out of her misery, I didn't have the balls to have her death on my conscience. I already had enough shame to devour me. I couldn't handle any more. No, I left because she wasn't my problem. Her life, no matter if it was full of hell or happiness, was not my issue. She's not mine. I had to believe that and accept it if I had any chance of being somewhat sane. I'd had my fill. Done. Over.
Sir?
Celix leapt from the car as I stalked toward him, slinging my jacket on. The pockets crunched with things I'd pillaged, as I did up the middle button. The poor guy, true to his word, had spent the night waiting. He knew I preferred to do business on my own. I could handle my safety if a double cross went down. I didn't need him for that. But I was grateful he was here to get me as far as fucking possible from this place and Pym. She'll be hurt. Not my problem. He might kill her. Not my problem. When I'd taken her upstairs, I'd done so with the promise to kill her afterward. I hadn't kept that promise. What did it matter if it was me or Ulrich who finally did it? Who cared if I was there to watch or back on the ocean where I belonged?
Fuck.
Celix cleared his throat.
Everything okay?
Nothing's okay. I want to leave immediately. I jerked hands through my hair. Is the yacht ready? He opened the rear door.
Yes, all prepared and ready for sale.
Good. I want to leave this shitty country as soon as I can.
I'll call ahead. Make sure we leave the moment you step on board.
He closed the door, encasing me in the black sedan before dashing to the driver's side. Taking one last look at Pym's prison, I muttered, "Take me to Phantom. Now."
Pimlico. Dear no one, I don't know what happened. All my notes and confessions to you, they vanished. Did you take them? Please tell me you took them. I can handle that. Tell me you're sick of me writing to you, and you flush them down the toilet or burn them or toss them out the window. Tell me anything as long as it isn't that Master A found you. Don't tell me that. They were there before breakfast yesterday. I checked. I didn't check last night as Mr. Prest kept me company. But now I've lost you. I don't want to lose you. Oh, no. I hear him coming. Shit, no one. What if he...
You damn little bitch.
Master A shot across the room, snatched up my letter and shredded it into confetti. No! My heart screamed as if he'd murdered a living, breathing friend.
All this time you've been writing and hiding it from me?
Stop. I cowered, slipping off the bed to bow on the floor. Any humanity and self-awareness I'd earned thanks to a few hours with Mr. Press disappeared. I slithered back into my role as slave, pressing my forehead against the carpet. Don't hurt me. Just kill me. I wished for freedom. I begged for happiness. But I wouldn't find either of those here, especially now with my notes to no one had vanished and Mr. Prest was gone. He left knowing what I'd suffer, understanding how severe my punishment would be from him touching me. It's not fair. None of this is right.
You fucking hid these from me.
He held out his hand, even as shredded words dripped from his fingers.
Give me the rest now.
Tears slipped over my nose, seeping into the white strands beneath me. I ought to be relieved. Master A hadn't been the one to take them. He wasn't a good liar. He preferred to gloat too much. That meant the thief was Mr. Prest. Why? How could he? A slap painted my cheek.
Give me the other pages, Pym. Don't make me ask again.
I don't have them, you asshole. How could Mr. Press take my last possessions? Not after he stole everything with his kiss. How would he found them? While you slept. While you trusted. That isn't possible. Is it?
Silence won't keep your secrets this time.
Master A paced, his body hyped on adrenaline.
Don't tell me where they are. I'll tear your room apart and find them myself.
Ducking to his haunches, he hissed.
And when I do, the punishment will be the second most painful thing you'll live through.
Wait, second? What's the first? What a stupid question. My nostrils flared as my mind tried to untangle the puzzle. Confusion kept me befuddled, prone for his fist as it sailed through the air, connecting with an awful thunk on the side of my skull. Oh, God. The agony. The pressure. The throb. Wrapping my hands over my head, I toppled sideways, biting my tongue to stop from crying.
You can avoid that if you tell me where the rest are. I'll give you one last chance.
I blinked back stars as my eyes shot around my room, doing my best to spot the pages before he could. If Mr. Prest had found them, why did he take them? Maybe he didn't know what the paper was and left them on my dresser or abandoned on the floor. Was that what the dollar butterfly was for? As payment for my darkest, deepest, innermost thoughts. He's a thief. He took my first kiss. Just like he took my novel. But why?
Answer me.
Master A punched me again. Stars became sunbursts, obliterating my vision completely. Every inch of me wanted to crawl, run, sprint away. I couldn't stop my mind racing. Why did he steal my treasured words? to read my emotions and laugh? Laugh at my stupidity and slavery? He said he would forget about me. Why take something to remember me by? My hands scrambled at the carpet as I rode through the current wave of agony. The unfolded dollar butterfly brushed my fingers, just as broken as I'd become. Snatching it, I used it as a talisman of hope. As long as I held it, I would survive. I hoisted myself forward, doing my best to move away from his abuse. Squatting by my head, he chuckled.
Trying to crawl from me, sweet Pim? Stupid girl, you know there's nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. A few hours with that son of a bitch, and you're already ruined.
My stomach roiled with nausea as he stood up again.
But don't worry, I'll make sure.